Right back at you on game night for the Toronto Maple Leafs. 10 games on tap, including ours on Sportsnet. Tonight, Toronto Maple Leafs, Philadelphia Flyers, 7 p.m. Yours truly, David Amber, Elliot Friedman, and welcoming back Justin Bourne.
I wonder if some people thought, like, JT Miller style that I...
just disappeared?
Disappeared or punched someone at random or got fired. But no, I'm still here, unfortunately, everyone. I like your Brian Burke look
yeah,
today.
Yeah, I do. I went Brian
the dangle tie.
It works for him. Yeah. It doesn't work for me, but I'm just too lazy. You know what's going to happen? I put it down, I leave, and I leave it here. Yeah. That's the danger.
I respect the decision. It goes very well with the pocket square. You would hate to leave that particular tie.
I can't tie a tie still.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Clip on?
No, like I'll go on YouTube and watch the video every single time, but I've never like memorized how to do it.
I had a high school girlfriend.
It's debilitating.
We're going to spend 5 minutes, me and you.
Yeah.
It's debilitating. It drives me crazy every time I go.
I'll get you going.
It takes me so long.
Just haven't talked to the right people.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, my dad's tried to teach me 100 times. Like, I don't learn very well, and it's just, it's really hard.
I don't learn very well. Yeah, I was told it was one of the requirements of being a man when I was a younger man.
It is.
And I, like, felt shamed into doing it.
Yeah, I'm less of a man.
Apparently, you didn't get the shaving lesson, though.
No. No, I keep her tight, though.
Yeah.
Tidy up.
Yeah.
It's not mayhem.
Well, wherever you are.
We've both had beers the entire time we've done this show together. Does that bother you?
Wherever you are watching, listening for the next little while, we'll get you right up until puck drop. We're live on Sportsnet 590. In the meantime, on The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. For the next 2 hours, we'll do our Leaf Edition starting right now. And then in the National Hour, we'll welcome in Steve Valiquette, who's been off the last little while. We'll catch up on him and get all the analytics on the latest on all the goalies and what's happening with the New York Rangers. In about 30 minutes, we'll get Daniel Briere, of course, general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers, as we tee up tonight's contest on a back-to-back, this time in Philadelphia, JB.
Yeah. I didn't get to weigh in yesterday on the weekend that was and all the sort of development with the Leafs, but... good show yesterday, it sounds like, Kip. Sounds like Gordo was good. You guys had a good chat, but I didn't get to hear your thoughts on the state of the Leafs halfway through the season today. How are you feeling about things?
I think, for the most part, pretty good.
Yeah.
In terms of having themselves in a position to win the division, something that we've talked about over the last few years, about the Leafs being this contending team, yet maybe just looking on the outside a little bit when it came to the first round, either against a Boston Bruins team, a Tampa Bay Lightning team. And lo and behold, it looks like they've got themselves in a position now to win the thing.
Everyone stinks.
To play the Habs in the first round?
Well, you know what?
That goes well.
That'd be great.
It's even if they won the division and lost in the first round, it would feel a little better for you, Ace.
Oh my God! It would feel so much worse. It would feel so like I wouldn't have one of my favorite excuses is be like, "Thanks, Gary, for the crappy playoff format." And then the second they finally get out of playing the Lightning or the Bruins or the Panthers,
you know what's going to happen? They're going to win the division and they're going to play Tampa. No, I say Tampa.
Well, you know what? What is interesting is the bar for expectations and what you want to see happen has moved because right now they sit 4 points up in the Atlantic, same games played with Florida. But were the playoffs to start today, by points percentage, they would play the Boston Bruins. It would be a 2-7 matchup against the Bruins. But if you win the division, it would be the Ottawa Senators by points percentage again. That's a big swing to me. A proven playoff team versus the Sens, who are just happy to be there. They're going to throw it at the wall, but they're happy to be there.
I would just rather lose the Bruins and the Sens, that's for sure. So if they're going to lose in the first round,
give me that. Have to lose. There's another alternative.
Is there?
Yes.
Would last Saturday have not given you a little bit more confidence if it was the Bruins?
For sure.
Bruins are rotten.
Charlie McAvoy doesn't even know where the red line is for icing.
What is going on with McAvoy? He was top five guy in the NHL for a minute, or in the defenseman anyway.
I don't know. Lindholm's been out. Is that, too much pressure on him to carry?
Yes. So the bar has changed, right? Where you would like to see them now set the goal to win the division, win the conference. The Capitals are first in the Metro, 2 points up in the Leafs right now with a game in hand. But I think the Capitals have a stumble or two coming their way. So, yeah.
So, what awesome. Do you guys want to do? You want to just open up a little bit of a halfway mark conversation, or you want to talk a little bit about what we can see tonight against Philadelphia?
The one thing I haven't got a chance to say was the Matthews return from the weekend, which you and I did get to talk about on the broadcast, which is good. But I wrote Friday about, is this, should they even consider buying at the deadline this year? You don't know if Matthews is going to be there. Even if he is, if he's at 70%, are you any better? You know, and then a weekend later, I think I feel much differently about the potential for him to look like himself. Do you feel differently?
Yeah, I do feel differently. Yeah. And I think if we were still talking about the first 10, 12 games, 15 games, but we're talking about 40 now, 41 mm-hmm. to be exact. And I just think that everything he's been through, I'm okay. If he looks the way he wants to look, like he did Saturday night, that's great. But the seed's been planted now that he could also disappear on the team. And if you don't have reinforcements, if you don't not have some sort of game plan to go into training or into the trade deadline without that reinforcement, whatever you think it may have to look like, you're making a big mistake.
I just think all of this entire season and roster and everything is predicated on the idea that everyone is going to be there, because you can't plan for guys to not be there, right? Like, you have to sort of plan that you're going to have your goalies. Yeah. If you know that Stolarz isn't there, you probably have to trade, but you're kind of you're hoping if the guys aren't there, you're just toast. You're just toast.
Yeah. But Stolarz is going to come off of a month and a half off.
Yeah.
With whatever you think might be a newer, more improved knee.
But you have to plan like he's going to be the goalie.
But you also just got to see what it looks like for whatever time that you have before the trade deadline. Or, you know, you may be in a tougher position to look at what else is out there, including Matt Murray back in the Marley. So when you've got a history, it changes the way you think, because everybody assumes that everybody's going to be healthy on any hockey club, but some guys have worse track records than others.
Yeah, so, of course they do.
And
yeah.
The Leafs have
10 of
last
them.
Year to look back on, where Matthews has the best playoff game I think I've ever seen him play against the Boston Bruins in game two. It was, where he was breathtaking. He scores a game-winning goal, that beautiful one on Ullmark, the only time they played Ullmark. And then gets hurt, and the other one just disappears until game 7, comes back, doesn't look like himself, the whole deal. You have last year to look back on. This isn't like it hasn't happened. Like it,
right.
Like,
but
a calendar
team,
year.
So there's no value in saying, let's plan to not have Matthews. Because if you're planning to not have Matthews, you're not good enough. And you just need a new plan.
We know that even with a healthy Matthews and a good John Tavares, they're looking for a centerman.
Right. With them, they need that.
With them at the top of their game.
Yes.
So the question for me is, how much higher do you need to go if you do feel like Matthews may be at times not 100%?
Yeah. I mean, maybe, Kip, my argument that they should consider not buying this year, re-sign Marner, and just take more swings down the road, maybe that argument isn't a good one at all, and maybe they need a bigger swing to say, we have to plan for maybe he doesn't play every game. We don't need Yanni Gord. We need
Scott Laughton. You need a
yeah. You don't need Scott Laughton. You need Kadri, or you need
JT Miller.
JT Miller. Jeez.
I still find it strange that he went from, I'm not sure, talking to the media, I'm not sure, you know, if my back level feel 100% this season, to playing back to back games on the weekend. Like that one kind of
stunning. That one, it was a stunning development.
Stunning. Yeah. Absolute.
It doesn't appear that when you have that type of thought process to put him in a back-to-back games, you're thinking about maybe resting him down the road.
No.
It just makes no sense.
But they did. I mean, they did limit his ice time in both the games, right? Like, I think what did he play?
17.
He played 17 something against the Bruins, and I'm not exactly sure what he played against the Flyers, but it was around there too. Like, they limited him pretty hard. So
they just took him off the PK. It's essentially where the minutes came from, which is good.
Yeah,
those are not minutes you need.
Don't need him killing penalties.
No, it's fine. No. So anyway, my thought anyway is back to that's positive. Yeah. That he's even able to look like that is encouraging. At least then, if he plays badly, you're also justified in criticism.
He ended up playing 20 on Sunday.
Are you, or are you back to saying he just doesn't look right?
Well, is it criticism, the fact that he can play 100%. Well with the same injury implies that it's possible.
Yeah, but the injury can fluctuate too. It could get worse. It could get better. So, it can flare up.
If you want to just praise him when he's good and take him off the hook when he's bad, I'm sure they would love that. They would love that.
I don't know. I've just unfortunately, those are the seeds of doubt that we've been planted, to watch grow.
This is the Leafs. It's all doubt. We've planted so many seeds of doubt,
games.
We have a field of doubts.
In the meantime, another good start, another good showing tonight for Austin, and seeing that jump and that power can further reinforce that he's on the right path.
Mm-hmm. And I think you look at where they are in the standings, and you just have to give everybody involved A+ in terms of a letter grade if you're going to do it. I mean, they were missing half their lineup for a month. Like, they had no bottom six, like Grobankin and all these guys were like, oh, they're not bad.
True.
It's just they had no players, and Marner had a huge part in that. He was unbelievable, carried them for long stretches, Tavares. And to have them be in the position they are with all the injuries and all the stuff that they've gone through, and I guess there's people, they're not listening yet, not Vancouver, that are like, shut up about the injuries, but they went through a lot of it. And to have Craig Berube and the goaltending and everything, to be where they are is pretty impressive, straight up.
Just make a half-season statue to Tan Evan McCabe.
Really?
Who kept this team together. And then obviously Joseph Woll, the goaltending is great.
But. And you lose Stolarz now, and Woll stepped in there. Like, it's
way,
a well-built.
Stolarz? There was a
sighting of him today.
Okay.
Was not on the ice,
not
but they did like they're doing like the mentors trip thing today. They did a bunch of pictures, and he was spotted at practice at least. So he's on the trip.
Okay.
Somebody's mentor, maybe. I don't know.
When did he go down?
Mid-December against the Devils. After the Devils, against the Ducks. So that would have been probably December 11th?
December 17th.
Maybe.
Okay, after that. Sorry.
Third week in February?
You're thinking third week
Can he get starts before that Four Nations?
No.
The 8th? What do you mean? It's a month from now, guys. This is supposed to be 4 to 6 weeks. It's been 3 weeks. Surely,
maybe
he can get on the ice.
6 to 8 weeks.
I think if you are still in a good position here and you have Joseph Woll playing well, I would agree. Give a 2 week break, and then you could maybe play him after that.
Yeah, you want to pile on Joseph Woll? It seems safe.
I mean, listen, there's no other options at this point.
I remember Valley saying, we'll have him on here today. He said, you could, if it was playoffs, be 2-3 weeks with that injury. It was his.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway, you're right.
Any other thoughts or from a 30,000
I need to get off my chest from the weekend? Sucks about Jake McCabe, who may be the most important piece for the Leafs at times.
Yeah.
I, like everyone else, am expecting Ryan Reeves to be upset about that tonight and tell Garnett about that.
Okay, well, why don't we go to a Kippers Clipper on Craig Berube on Reeves drawing back in, and then we'll pick up the conversation.
I just wanted a bigger, more physical lineup tonight. Yeah. I just think for going off last game too, and Reeves been out a couple few games, so I wanted to get him back in. And, there were some pretty big hits last game, and stuff, so just got to be prepared and kind of wanted to go with a more physical and heavier lineup tonight.
Oh, yeah. That's all you need to know.
I just thought at random we'd get bigger tonight.
Yeah, I want to be big and tough tonight for no apparent reason.
I don't like that Hathaway and Reeves is in.
Yeah. The Hathaway. That's
basically what he's saying.
Oopsie into Woll, I think, is kind of.
Hildeby?
Or into Hildeby, right.
It wasn't bad at all.
It wasn't bad at all, but it wasn't good at all either.
100%. And what I actually even like about it is, even though it's, pushing the envelope, the Leafs are consistent with my goalie.
That's
right.
Love that.
Don't touch my goalie.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't mean to. Be more careful then.
Yeah. The only problem is that, when you got a reputation of a snake like Hathaway slithering on the ice, you don't take your foot off his head.
Yeah. You wanted McCabe to stay on him.
You can't let that guy get up and chuck
it. Well, hold on. You can let him up if you want to take your gloves off and fight, but it's like he didn't quite anticipate.
No.
Just choke him out MMA style.
You can't fight Hathaway.
Not let him get up. It's over. Right?
One of the best hockey players. The game notes, pal.
McCabe drove his head into the ice once.
Yeah.
That's only going to make him madder.
Right, but I thought then, okay.
No,
we're going to have a fight if we want to fight about
no
it.
Fair.
Here we go.
Don't need anybody to. It's a fight. It's a fight. The message has to be, I'm going to put you down and you're going to stay down.
Yeah.
And but everything was great except, you know, he let his guard down a little bit, McCabe, and he paid for it.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate way that unfolded.
And let's hope he's, you know, just maybe a couple of weeks away from coming back again.
Let's check in.
Yeah, we got an update from the coach on it.
Ruby. Yeah, yeah, clip three, please.
Approximate? not really. I think it's just you got to go day to day here, and you know, he needs to get back on the ice, and then we'll go from there. I think that's probably the best way I can put it.
That was the update on Hockenpot 2 years ago, too.
Yeah, they're just known as the Toronto day to days.
The day to days. Yeah.
I mean, it's the safest.
Yeah. It's just the least.
He's not day to day. The guy needs to be out a minimum of 10 days to 2 weeks.
He's literally on IR. He's not even eligible to play in the league till the 14th of January, which is a week from now.
He's
not day to day.
And he's just come off a head injury, if we're not going to call it a concussion. A head injury.
The Leafs treat us like mushrooms. Is that the line from The Departed? To just feed them crap and keep them in the dark? That's their theory with the rest of us. Just here's what you need to know. Nothing. Shut up.
Timmins draws in for McCabe.
Yeah, that's due. The meteoric rise of Philippe Myers has made Timmins' spot a little bit more tenuous on the back end.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Myers? Have you been liking him?
I think he's held his own. It hasn't been overly noticeable either which way, which is a good thing sometimes. Mm-hmm. Safer thing. I'm good with Myers. They just signed him to a 2-year deal at a very friendly, $850,000?
Yep.
And not to, but it's buryable. The word is, if you needed to put it in the minors, you could. So, that contract.
They've shaken up the deer pairing. Well, I guess not Riley Myers, but it's all of Rekman Larson and Tanev tonight going with Benoit and Timmins. So you have a right-left shot on each D pair tonight, which actually, Berube talked about the D pairs tonight without McCabe. Clip five, please. Talk about that.
Well, I think guys step in and do the job. Tim Rode went tonight. He's been out a couple games, and Myers done a good job. And, we have a lefty right in each pair now. Helps with puck transport, out of your zone, through the neutral zone and things like that, and even in the offensive zone. It's a lot easier to take a puck off the wall and do some with it. You got a guy in his offside, it's definitely harder.
Timmer and Mizey, like that?
Mizey, yeah. I mean, there's no other way to go. Timmer, I don't know. Timmy, I think it's Timmer's right. yeah. Babcock would be thrilled with this decor tonight. Right, left, right, left, right, left.
It's good.
Yeah.
Morgan Riley, any better for you with Myers?
That doesn't really matter to me who's playing with Morgan Riley. Morgan Riley's got to be better, mm-hmm. right?
He had some comments recently where he thinks he's played better of late.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's – do you see that?
When you think of really, really good Morgan Riley, I remember that first round where they beat 2 years ago, right? Sammy, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Like, he was, really good.
Scored the OT winner in one of the games.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was, prior to Josh Morrissey taking off in Vancouver about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I kind of had them similar type of players.
Winnipeg.
What did I say?
Vancouver, Winnipeg.
I'm sorry.
No, I was confused.
Winnipeg. Winnipeg.
Good.
And I had them as almost similar type of players, like puck movers, mm-hmm. skaters, can jump up in a rush, can find a way to shoot it in the net. And right now it's not even close for me, right? Where Josh Morrissey is and where Morgan is right now. And for the Leafs to really be taken seriously, Morgan has to hit that high mark again for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's like the regular season has just become such a long grind of just waiting to get to the playoffs. Like, is there another gear he's hanging on for, just getting through another season? Like, everyone has talked about these Leafs teams. Show me a playoff. Do you think,
I also think that
year nine of like, okay, wait till we get there.
I also think that this market better than anybody. And there are
there has to be sort of a whipping boy at times. And there's people that there's always a defenseman that somebody needs to blame.
It ain't him.
I mean, it is him.
No, it's not. I get messages all the time. Why does no one ever lean on Riley?
That's right.
Riley gets, yeah.
You know, but like amongst the fans, he is the number one whipping boy right now.
Really? I don't get that sense.
What? Who gets a bigger pass than Morgan Riley?
I don't know. We must be talking to different
Have
people.
Have we ever come and been like, this guy?
Not like he's never had it anywhere near like Nylander or Marner over the years.
Well, no,
not even close.
Not even close.
Matthews either.
I'm with him.
I'm feeling this year
Matthews
that he's
never.
That,
he's bulletproof.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's not bulletproof. His back hurts. He's not bulletproof. He can't survive a cross check. I just think that maybe this year it's the first time where he's really been felt it.
Yeah.
And like I do Leafs talk after every game. Like the comments people are talking about Morgan Riley, tweets everything. Morgan Riley takes a beating recently.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess
I gotta keep my ear to the
text line. The text line is always like, talk about Morgan Riley more. What's wrong with Morgan Riley? Blah blah blah.
Where I will lean towards your side is that time is starting to run out on Morgan Riley. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't agree that it's at that feverish pitch right now where you've got it at, but I will say that if he doesn't kind of step up and lead this blue line, especially in the spring, then there could be some major changes, and I'm not sure he'd be back next season.
I don't think I've ever heard that said about him, right? Because they've had so few D to lean on, to rely on. Like it's always been they need to add to the D to help him. But at some point, you're going to come up against year whatever of them not breaking through. And sure, he's part of, we call it the core four, but he's as much a part of that core as any. So,
do you want to hear the coach talk about him? He talked about him today.
Always.
Clip six, please, Derek.
I think Mo's been really playing a hard game for me, like physical, checking, you know, doing a good job. And, you know, a big goal for us last game, 3-on-3. You know, I think that he's doing what we're asking him to do. I'm sure maybe he looks at it like he wants more offense. And, yeah, he's an offensive defenseman. And, you know, he's getting his looks. And, you know, he's walking down the pipe in the power play last game. It just got blocked. But, you know, for me, it's about playing 200 feet with Mo. And we want him to be offensive and jump up into play at the right times and do the right things. But we want him to do the right things defensively. And I feel like he has been.
Maybe. Go ahead. I'll let you have it.
Good on him. He scores a 3-on-3 goal, which...
He's good in overtime. I think he has like 6 overtime winners. Yeah, he's got a lot of overtime winners.
Great. Maybe, hopefully he can come up with many 3-on-3 goals in the playoffs.
Well,
because there's never 3-on-3s in the playoffs.
Oh, he did.
Only the World Junior
it's
OT.
It's not real hockey.
I mean, he did score an overtime winner for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs.
Okay.
After they came back from 4-1 with 10 minutes left against the Tampa Bay Lightning. It was pretty fun.
What a game.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the but. On the other night, it's like I don't care about the 3-on-3 goal. What I cared about was the fact that you were standing there with Lawton and you can't tie him up. You're there. That's your man. Mm-hmm. And I think Willie, of course, took some heat on that, right? Losing the puck battle on the wall.
Like,
but that's your man. That goal cannot go in, Morgan.
I'm not going to totally, like, he's been at fault on a lot of stuff this year, but the whole play is broken up there, and everybody starts scrambling around the second that...
But he's not scrambling, he's there.
Well, no, but the winger, you know, Nylander doesn't seal the wall there, and then it's like all hell breaks loose, and he's scrambling around trying to find his guy, and it ends up in the back of the net.
No, he had his man. He's not scrambling.
Anyways.
He had his man.
Yeah, I think it's... I'm going to put it more on Riley, on Nylander for that one. Anyways, you played the NHL, I didn't.
That's fine. I don't have to say that.
It's true.
We all know it's true.
But, like,
true.
Just seal the wall.
You don't have to say
seal
it.
Seal the wall, and that never happens.
But other people can be at fault, and he can still be at fault.
Yeah, just seal the wall.
The one thing I do wonder about is, like, if you go back and look at his stats the 3 years prior to this, he's 68 points, 41 in 65 games, 58 points. This year he's on pace for 38. It's tough for me to know how much of that is Berube coming in and saying, we want you to play defense. We want you to take care of your end. We want you to...
just listen to the coach. He's encouraging him.
Well, he is now that he's recognized that when he does that, he doesn't produce points. You know, I am sure he's like, okay. I think a lot of these guys for Berube was like, okay, we're going to try to dial everyone in, and then if we need to open it up a little bit, we can go from there.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's what has happened with Riley so far.
McMahon moving up to the second line today, Kippy.
I've said it right from the get-go. This guy can work up and down the lineup. I like that he's going to drive the pace of play up for John Tavares.
Would you like to hear why he's moving McMahon up?
Yes.
Clip two? You may be onto something. Clip two.
Yeah, so I wanted to add a little bit more speed to Tavares' line. And Bobby's been playing really well, and I know that line of Max Domi, Bobby, and Robbie have been really good for us, but Robbie's not in tonight, so just moving guys around a little bit.
Yeah, they've been great. Tavares has been great. Willie's been great for the most part. And you live with Willie and the Blenders lately, but this is where I think you want the Matthews line going and the Tavares line going.
Yeah.
And McMahon can do that. He can push.
Yeah. There's a couple factors for me. McMahon deserves to play with some players who produce offense, get in the ozone. I think it'll be, you know, you have the chance of, instead of getting 18 goals out of him, he could be a 25 goal guy with a little more opportunity. So I like that. Also, with the way they've changed their lines, Lorenz has moved up to play on the third line in Robertson's spot. Putting Pacioretty on the other side kind of changes what that line is.
Totally.
They go from being this sort of little squirrely, maybe we'll create offense, to like, oh, that's a big, strong, forechecking line.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you've totally changed the look of your bottom six by making that one move.
Yeah.
Putting Reeves in and then putting Lorenz up, it's a totally different thing.
And also, the second line with Tavares and Nylander has kind of been stuck offensively. They haven't been creating. Willie's gone 7 games. So, yeah, this hopefully can jumpstart them a bit. One thing for Willie, in his defense, he hasn't had 3 straight games with the same centerman in a month. So
that's what the $11.5 million is for.
Well, sure. Yeah, you're still supposed to create, but it's not been ideal circumstances.
Got to shoot in it. Like, I mean, it's 7 games here now. Like, and he's classic. It's like a baseball player. He's carrying his offense out to the field, where it's like balls are skipping past his glove at third. Like, he's throwing it over the first baseman. It's just,
he said he'd sleep on our show the other day. He has naps.
No.
Seasonal naps.
No, you just didn't say he takes naps. You said 12 game naps. He's still got 5 to go, or he's just going to sleep, according to you.
I may not be wrong.
Well, maybe with the shakeup tonight, Tavares, maybe it's McMahon, some pace on the wings there that looks good together. But yeah, he needs to get it going.
Only guy in the league on pace for 50 goals this year is Draisaitl. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. So
everybody slowed down.
Apparently.
Reinhardt.
Yep. And Kucherov hurt, maybe. Oh, Kaprizov hurt. So that's part of the reason why.
Last thing, public enemy number one today, Garnet Hathaway. Berube was asked about him today at practice, and this is what he said.
Well, I don't talk about him at all, really. I mean, I don't really know what I mean, for me, we know what kind of player he is. He's a hard player, and he does a good job at it. He's physical, and we know he's going to be physical, and he's not going to shy away from it, and just got to be prepared for it.
I think the job.
We don't want to react. We want to initiate, and that's the biggest thing, is not reacting and taking retaliatory penalties. You know, you're going to get hit in this league, and, you know, things are going to happen. It's about being disciplined.
I don't want to see Reeves go after him right away.
No.
I want, let it stew a little bit. Let it percolate.
Chili. It's better to let it
outside of Hathaway, what do the Flyers have here?
Well, see, this is what I was going to say.
What are they? Well, like, come on.
Is like, are you going to be that concerned with Garnet Hathaway? Like, if your game plan involves worrying about Garnet Hathaway, you might not be setting up the best chance to win for yourself. However, I understand that as a team in this league, in the middle of the season, you don't also want to just, like, let a guy
I don't think you're going to let him off the hook tonight. I just say that sometimes the anticipation of something happening can really alter a whole hockey game. Mm. It can make people that don't do it actually more nervous and more apprehensive. It's like once you see two tough guys fight, there's a lot of guys on your bench that don't do it that can say, okay, I'm glad that's over. Now we can just focus on the game. And it can alter a hockey game when some of the non-guys are watching this.
Well, what's so hard for that?
And I look at the Flyers and then, like, past Hathaway. There's nothing there. Let
Konechny's going to go annoy you.
Yeah, maybe Konechny will, you know, I don't think you're going to intimidate him, but there's others out there that can not feel that comfortable out there, you know? And it's not, I think it would play in the Toronto's favor, knowing that something may be coming, you just don't know when.
You know, and for me, what a crazy concept. Like Reeves or whoever it is in that situation would have to have so much confidence in their ability to fight, to handle themselves. I don't know if you've ever heard the expression, eat the frog, but it's like if your job is to eat a frog in a day, the best time to eat it is as soon as you wake up. Get it over with. Do the hard work first. Just be done with it and move on.
You're not frying it or anything first?
I've never heard that. And if your job is to eat two frogs, eat the biggest one first. Wow. It's like, just get the crap out of the way. Whatever you do,
it's like
your
a workout.
Yeah, exactly.
Get up and get it done by eight.
If you hate working out, wake up, eat the frog, do the workout, and then you're done.
Is this a BC thing?
I've never heard this either.
No, Alaska? Did you get this from Alaska?
It's a Mark Twain quote.
Oh, okay. Oh,
wow.
Way over our heads.
I haven't cracked one of those books in a while.
But the point is that if I'm Ryan Reeves, how do you go into a game being like, I have to fight Garnet Hathaway? And then you just stare at that frog the whole
game. Now, if Garnet wants to turn around and say, let's get this over with, you're not going to
back it down.
You're not, exactly. You're not. Yeah. If that's,
I guess it's really Hathaway who's got a frog to eat here. So
we should go, but
you had that backwards. Yeah.
You just like it kind of,
just do this.
You just like it kind of hanging over.
Just
have it hanging over the game a
little bit.
Particularly when you think Reeves is the tougher guy, right? He's the heavier.
You know, no one's going to the ice box when Reeves and Hathaway are on the ice tonight.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right. Oh, and it'll be pointed out. You'll hear CC going,
mention it. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, Daniel Briere, former NHLer, general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers, we're going to get his thoughts on Garnet Hathaway and what we could expect tonight from his hockey club. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Blake Murphy.
And I'm Matt Bonner.
Join us weekday mornings at 11 as we break down all things Toronto Raptors.
It's the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back at you. Real Kipper and Bourne, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, let's welcome in Daniel Briere, former NHLer, general manager, helping us tee up tonight's contest between the Philadelphia Flyers and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Daniel, how are you, man? Thanks for doing this.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right. So, let's just start right now in terms of, a little bit of a carryover from the other night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. A lot of people around here may be focusing a little bit on a Garnet Hathaway these days. Before we get into, maybe some specifics going up against a guy like Ryan Reeves, just overall, what has he brought you? Because at the end of the day, Daniel, we know there's not that many guys that can play a tough brand of hockey, but there's something there that this makes him quite valuable to you guys as well, right?
Yeah, Garnet has been really an amazing player for us. Brings the physicality that. Nowadays the game has changed a lot and there's not as much of it. And having a guy that can also play, he's fast, he's good on the forecheck, he brings intensity, he can kill penalties for us, and he plays with an edge. So he's an important player. I remember watching him playing against us and run our defensemen all the time. So when we had the chance to sign him, bring him in the fold, we thought he'd be a great fit for our team, and he really has been.
Danny, looking at your season tonight is going to be the halfway point for you guys, game 41. Going into the season, I'm not sure what your expectations for your group was, but how would you assess how things have gone compared to how you thought they would go?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. I think we, a young team, we've showed some inconsistencies at times. Goaltending has been hot and cold, and the same thing goes for a lot of our players when you go through one by one. It's about where we thought we'd be. I wish we had a few more points and be in a better position for the playoffs, but there's still a long ways to go. We're still in the race, which is good because that's what we want with our young guys is to play meaningful games in the second half of the year. So that part we're happy with, but we'd like to see more of a consistent game from every individual in the second half.
As a general manager, when you watch, you know, an experienced coach like John Tortorella handle a young and up and comer like Mitch Mishkov, Daniel, is that something that you stay on top of on a regular basis on methods of getting messages, whether it's more ice time, less ice time, or a healthy scratch, or do you just kind of sit from afar and let a guy like Tortorella handle it?
Well, we have discussions, but at the end of the day, you know, Torts is the coach. He's paid, hired and paid to be the coach, and he's the one that makes those decisions. But he includes us. We're very involved, Jonesy and I, when it comes to, you know, how to approach and what's going on with the whole team and our players. But like I said, Torts makes the decisions at the end of the day. We trust him. We think he's fabulous to have, especially when you have a young team and you're trying to show them the way and the best way to be pros. You know, and in the case of Matvei Mishkov, it's pretty cool because we see him really grow and mature right in front of our eyes. He's been a great teammate. He wants to get better. He's really working at his game. You can see the effort both ways of the ice. You know, and that all starts with Torts, with his approach and his demands towards the players, and he treats them the same way he treats everybody else, with fairness, but very stern. You know, so I think for Matvei, there couldn't be a much better situation to learn from than John Tortorella.
Do you remember that process of being a young guy who could just score and do things other people couldn't do, and then you have some guy telling you to stand here and play D and check? Like, it's a tough process to accept when you're so talented, so young.
It is, and look, I wasn't in that class. I'm not in the Matvei Mishkov class, but I was an offensive guy, and you know what happens too is, and sometimes, and I had to go through it a little bit, where, you know, when you play minor hockey and you play junior hockey, you don't really have to listen to the coach and listen to the system and follow the rules that a lot of guys have to follow to be on the team, because you can do other things that certain guys can't do. And you know, when you get to a level, there's always a place where it hits you where you have to follow suit with everybody else. And you know, I think that's probably what's happening with Matvei at this level. But he's been very receptive, and he wants to get better. He wants to work at his overall game and really get better both ways of the ice.
Did you have any idea of Owen Tippett being as skilled or as good as he is? I'm just reminded of the trade that you made for Florida, and you absolutely fleeced them.
Well, we got lucky, and that was Chuck Fletcher, by the way. I was I was in the background, but Chuck Fletcher made that trade, and
yeah.
You know, it turns out to be a great trade for the future of the Flyers. Owen Tippett has been fantastic. He's been better than we expected. We knew we were getting a very powerful skater and a guy that could score, but his overall game has been much more impressive than what we anticipated. And to see him again grow in front of our eyes, and it shows you sometimes you have to be patient with those guys that are 22, 23 years old. You know, sometimes it's just a little click and or a play. Sometimes they find, a better chemistry with a certain team. Sometimes it's with the coaches. Sometimes it's with players. So it's not always easy, but it's a good lesson for us to show that you have to be patient with guys like that.
Danny, when the Four Nations Faceoffs teams came out, one of the people online who does, like, stat tracking, whatever, tweeted, like, I'm not sure about the Sanheim thing, a few question marks about him. And then Joel Farabee responded to the guy on Twitter, and he said, watch a game. You know, which is, I think, something maybe some people were missing with Sanheim. This guy has really taken a step in the last year or two to being one of the league's better D-men.
Yeah, and he's flown under the radar a lot. You know, because we weren't a great team, because we weren't in the spotlight. You know, and the other thing too, with Travis Sanheim is that, you know, he's not a flashy guy where he's, you know, running the power play and you see him on the highlights every night. You know, he's a different player. He's good overall. You know, in the last couple of years, we have to give him credit. He's taken another step. His physicality has improved a lot, and his defending has improved a lot. He kills a lot of plays. And I think for Hockey Canada too, is they were looking for versatility, a player, 6'3" defenseman that can skate all day long, that can play defense, that can kill penalties, is not afraid to block shots, and can play the right side or the left side, and he doesn't care. And that's a great asset to have for an organization, to always have that, you know, a top-pairing defenseman that you can play on either side of the ice. I'm telling you guys, we see it as a huge asset to have.
You're listening to Daniel Briere, general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers. Danny, about maybe 6 or 8 weeks ago, we had Keith Jones on, and, you know, who doesn't love having Jonesy on? And we spoke about, you know, expectations going into the spring or the trade deadline anyways, and he made it very clear on our show that you guys are sellers, you're not buyers, you're not ready, and which was great for us. Very refreshing to hear, you know, a general manager just be so transparent so early in the season. And I'm just wondering, was that always the strategy for you guys moving forward? We're not trying to fool anybody here this season. And, you know, how has that affected you day to day as a general manager?
Well, at the end of the day, the players are going to decide. But, you know, they've shown us again this year. It was kind of what we expected to be. We're not Stanley Cup contenders, not yet anyway. And, you know, it's not the time to go. We don't have unrestricted free agents like a lot of those teams have. So, you know, the selling part for us is going to have to be hockey trades, you know, and hockey trades that are going to make us better in the future is what we're going to be looking for. So now it's not always easy to hear, but for our fans, but we want to be upfront and honest with them. We just don't see it as being a cup contender yet. But at the same time, we're not too far away. And if we can get some assets that are going to help us in the short future, then that's the way we're going to go.
All right, last one for me then. I'll just touch on the trade that you guys were kind of pushed into making earlier in the year, you know, moving out Gauthier and bringing in Jamie Drysdale. How has Drysdale, how has his adjustment to the Flyers gone for you guys?
Well, first of all, the kid has great character, you know, and he hasn't played a lot of hockey. He was thrust into the NHL at an early age, and maybe his development got stunted little bit, but the kid has, like I said, great character, work ethic is amazing, loved by his teammates, and he's getting better. Torts challenged him this year to be more proactive out there, to not be afraid to take risks, and we're seeing that in his game more and more. It's a work in progress. You know, he's not where he can be, we feel, but we're happy with him. We think it's going in the right direction, and we see a bright future for Jamie Drysdale.
We had a few clips of Craig Berube, Chief, talking about wanting to be big and physical tonight. And we think there might be a little bit of carryover over the Hathaway-Jake McCabe incident. Are you anticipating anything? Will there be any changes to your lineup? You want to match him bigger for bigger tonight? Like, come on, get us back to the Broad Street Bullies there, Danny.
And that's the beauty. We miss that, right? Having home and home with teams. There was more in the past, and that made for great rivalries. There's not as many anymore, but it's always exciting. It's always fun because it's got a little bit of a feel of a playoff game tonight, which is great. For us, though, there's not, unfortunately, any changes. But I'm excited to see how our guys are going to react to it from, you know, especially our young guys. It's a great chance to gain some experience for us and see how they handle a little bit of, I wouldn't say adversity, but, you know, a little bit of spunk here coming up into this game.
Yeah, let's see who's comfortable being uncomfortable, eh, Danny?
That's right. That's right. That's what we're going to be looking for.
All right, good luck tonight. Thanks for joining us, man. Best of luck the rest of the season, Daniel Briere.
Great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Great show.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Right? They're going to be, like I told you, see his, he wants to see how some of his players respond to a little bit of, hey, I'm not used to this.
Yeah, everyone's being mean.
I hope I don't get hurt.
But this is, he talked about what they wanted for their team, and part of it is getting these guys into games like tonight, games that matter. So he wants his team to push for the playoffs and to care down the stretch, and can't say I blame him. If you look at their draft picks, they have 6 picks in the first 2 rounds this year. 3 first, 3 seconds coming up.
Wow.
And I'm really hoping that the Leafs just don't look at Ryan Reeves and say, go fix everything. And
don't miss McCabe, though. McCabe's such a good part of that.
Yeah, but like McMahon, Nyes, they can play big and heavy, and they can get their noses dirty, and they can hold a scrum, and they can get some, you know.
I got belief in Nyes to do that.
I was going
to
say, Nyes' willingness is there.
McMahon is
but
just
that's all part of the process of sticking together here. Mm-hmm. Just don't be that guy that looks down the bench and go, hey, go do something about it.
So one of my favorite players on the Leafs, because just the way he fit, could we get like maybe a PIM from Steven Lorenz tonight? Could he be someone who's allowed zero?
Zero PIMs.
He's got 100 hits and no PIMs.
On a fourth line. That's,
you know,
got to be an NHL record right now.
It's
for a fourth
wild.
Line winger to have zero penalty minutes.
With 100-plus hits.
And he hits.
I don't find him like...
No, he's not soft.
No, he's not like soft. He's like avoiding
net,
it.
He forechecks.
I got to be honest with you. I'm tripping somebody on purpose.
Get it to him there?
I'm spearing. I'm doing something.
You don't think
something.
It's like a little bit of a personal point of pride where it's like, yeah, I'm physical, but I'm clean.
No, that's the opposite of pride.
Shame?
Yes, too clean. Who wants to be that clean in the game of hockey?
Yeah.
Totally agree.
I got to tell you, I didn't like accepting my sportsmanlike awards every year. It wasn't a point of pride.
Sportsmanlike.
You ever win one of those, Kippy?
No.
Okay.
No.
I got to have a dozen in my room somewhere.
I told you guys, Brian Burke had it in my contract where I owed him money if I ever won the Lady Bing. I owed him like $1,500 if I won that trophy.
There's a great Shanahan commercial back in the day where he was feeding his dogs and the dog bowl said Lady and Bing on them in the dog bowl. So it was like that. I forget what it was for, but it was an excellent commercial. He was never going to win one either.
No.
Like Connor and Austin's new McDonald's commercial.
Yeah, you're a big fan of it.
I like the Gretzky, Matt Sundin one in the old Maple Leaf Garden. That's the one I remember.
So I explained this to you upstairs and I'll explain it again. I think everything was just better when we were younger. Like, it's just, you know, you're at a certain age.
You think it was, or you perceived it better?
I think, like, a commercial for McDonald's with Gretzky and Matt Sundin when I'm 10 years old is literally the best thing on earth.
Right, so perception.
There's nothing but, like, you know, a kid who's 10 years old now who idolizes McDavid and Matthews, seeing those two guys in a commercial, it's probably pretty cool. And Kipper's looking at me like, grunt, 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 grunt. I'm like, no, it's cool to have these guys.
All right, Sammy.
The Smoked Poppy Burger or whatever they got, it's not the best name, but listen.
When we go to commercial break, go and buy yourself a Happy Meal, for God's sakes.
You just get the toy. Do you think they like each other, McDavid and Matthews?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, they practice together.
I hope not.
Oh, they
for the sake of the Four Nations, I hope not.
Yeah.
Didn't they train together in... Arizona, and there was like all the people getting
right.
all.
They
went to like Germany
to Europe
together.
Too,
yeah.
Went over to see Healing Hans.
Healing Hans.
Oh, Hans. I don't know what he healed, but.
I don't know. His reputation might have taken a hit the last month.
Yeah, he just got some good Ontario healthcare system. He got his back fixed up.
Oh, hip fixed it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break here. When we return, Steve Valiquette, analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG, CEO of ClearSight Analytics. We'll get into a ton, including Demko.
It's been a month since we've talked to him.
So. Oh, he's got a lot to say.
Yep.
Don't go away. We're back after these words.